This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
8:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long. Ed, at the home front in Baltimore, I am in Boston for the old Red Sox two-game series. Joining us right now from FilmStudyBaltimore.com, he is Ken McCusick. Good morning to you, Ken.
Hey, Rob, how's it going? Man, you're lucky to be up there in Basayo land.
I'm not lucky to see Basayo. I'm not lucky to be in Boston. I don't like Boston.
Ken's sitting in your chair naked, by the way.
And it's and it's cold. It's 54 degrees when I got up this morning.
He's ignoring me.
I heard you. I heard you. If I were in my room broadcasting, I would be in my chair. You send me swinging. Again, the emergence of Ruben Lowry. Who and what can he bring to the Ravens secondary?
Yeah, well, first of all, very smart guy. I don't know if his background, but a mechanical engineering degree from the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. And he's in some rocketry program, which is recognized by NASA nationally. So they had it's a long story.
So he makes football rocket science.
He really is. He's literally a rocket scientist.
We already have one of those. We have Sigma Dell.
he's definitely a guy who learns the playbook quickly. I think that's been part of the reason they liked him so much. The Ravens really have a type, by the way. Jeremy Lucien a few years ago, exactly this kind of player, two years ago now. But anyway, it looks like he's the fourth safety now after this game. And it is an interesting order of entry problem, but Lowry was in the game before Braid and played the same positions. They each played some deep safety on a split field role and also at slot corner because they were very short on that in this last game. But I think he's ahead of Braid on the roster, so it's a matter of whether they keep four or five safeties. But Lowry, I think, has made the team.
Well, what could you start with the 10,000-foot view? I mean, the Ravens looked smothering and suffocating in that game. Or do the Cowboys really suck?
Probably a little bit of
both.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that Joe Milton was terrible. I mean, I thought he comported himself reasonably well in the pocket and whatnot. They've got some legitimate weapons on the defensive line and at defensive end that they showed to the Ravens. I thought they handled reasonably effectively. They didn't allow a sack in the game. At least that's something. But yeah, it was a combined effort, offense and defense. I thought that Rush moved the ball, moved the team fairly well. Really played a lot better than his statistics would indicate. Those two interceptions, he got betrayed on the first one by the official Ann Wester, I'll call it, and on the second one, ball went right through Ali's hands. Just a terrible play.
Yeah.
But I thought he moved the team very well. Stood in against pressure very well as well. So he might be the guy who my opinion changed most on this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ken McCusick joins us, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Can I ask Ed on yesterday, the two running backs, were they auditioning for their next team, or is there room for either one of them on the Baltimore Ravens team?
Yeah, so John Harbaugh was at the podium after the game and said that Ali was going to be kept as the fourth running back, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but go out there and read what he said. He's basically right. He's given him a roster spot already. I don't think a 19-carry workload is highly indicative of a player you're going to keep. I think it's more of a showcasing move. So we'll see how that actually plays out. But one thing that might make a spot for Ali is if they IR likely, which, you know, again, you might be giving away something already about the opening game roster. If you're saying Ali's getting a spot, everybody else is going to assume that likely is not going to be back for that game or for the first 4 weeks. So, you know, that would be the way he would get a spot, to my way of thinking. I can't otherwise find a spot for him on the 25 on offense the Ravens are likely to keep.
Mm. We have a lot to cover in this segment. There was a lot. But before I do that, I want to ask the broader question again. We're assessing this, and we ask specific questions about preseason games. Because mm-hmm. this is a way to judge talent. How do you do it when it's so, you say, awkward or uneven? Like, do we really believe that the Bears would beat the Bills 38-0 in a regular season? Will you believe that, you know, any of these things? Half of these scores are just preposterous. I mean, I don't think the Browns are going to beat the Eagles at any time. I don't think the Patriots are going to beat the Vikings, in, you know, given on any given Sunday. And this all happened last week. Mm-hmm. So how do you, like, what kind of curve do you use to assess this?
At an individual level, I think you look at it and you have to consider context and when they were in mm-hmm. the game. But I'll say this. I think what we did see is the Ravens have flexed an unbelievable amount of defensive depth, which is what led them
right.
to the 24-game preseason win streak. It's all about just having way better twos and threes than the other team's twos and threes mm-hmm. You know, down the roster. I think that's what you can draw from it. Now, does that help you in terms of building a regular season roster, which I think is a more pertinent question? Yeah, I think it does. It helps you fill out the back end of your roster. It also helps you have your players poached when you try and get them through the practice
squad. Yes, we put the practice squad, yes.
At the end of camp.
Ken McKusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken is going to stay with us on the other side. I want to ask you about a player who may have taken a huge step back from week one to week two. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Coming up on 8:15 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ken McKusick joins us from filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, after preseason game number one, LaJonte Wester was the talk of town. Your thoughts on him from Saturday?
Yeah, tough game, too. A couple fair catches on the punt return, which, you know, moved up on the ball once, not the second time. But he didn't catch any of his four targets as a receiver, and that was bad. Dropped the first one. It was a, you know, kind of a comedy of errors, drop off his chest and then almost intercepted. Then he had a DPI that was not called on the interception, but he was kind of asking for the flag rather than playing defense on that play, which was kind of bad, I thought. Then he had a DPI not called that was probably a more serious one where the defensive back literally turned him around with his left arm as he reached across his body with his right one to knock the ball away. And then he didn't drop a ball, but the ball dropped in bounds in a bracket where he could not quite in a bracket with him bracketed to either side. I'm getting two plays confused here. But it dropped in bounds, and that's a risk of an interception on that play. So not a good night for him. They didn't use him on a bunch of gadget and wide receiver screen plays in this game, which, you know, you're hoping he can get in there and get some yak. But most of that in this game was Wade.
Mm. Do you think any of the receiving core look good in this game?
The big one was Walker. So he had six catches. Wade looked pretty good, too, by the way. Wade had 45 yards and 48 yak in the game. So he's doing what could help the team with some comeback routes. But sticking with Walker for a second, they took him out of his comfort zone. So he didn't run a bunch of 7, 8, and 9 routes, not a bunch of try and beat the corner with the vertical speed. Everything was coming back or underneath, and he held onto the ball. He didn't get distracted. He reached back for that first catch. It was about 15 yards on the play outside of his frame, so that was a good catch. I thought he looked probably the best of the receivers, and he needs comeback routes. I mean, that's the big thing you need. He had a couple of those in there. He needs that to in order to magnify his speed and make him a more dangerous weapon deep. So I want to see him cross more, and I want to see him come back more. But but I thought Walker had a good game.
I do, too. I liked him before this, and that's why I was asking, because I liked him prior to these exhibition games. I think he's got talent. I think he can contribute here.
Ken McKusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, what was your assessment of the offensive linemen, especially Corey Bullock?
Yeah, so Corey Bullock, I thought, had a good game except for the holding penalty, which is like it's a good game. She's beautiful except half her face is missing. In 35 snaps to have a holding call is going to significantly reduce your overall value. But he's clearly the number two center at this point. He's a guy they may in fact be grooming for as a potential 2026 replacement for Linderbaum. They have to be prepared. No, nobody wants Tyler to leave, but if he does, if they can't come to an agreement on price, they have to have an alternative. And he now looks like a reasonable one who'll start the season as the backup there. Certainly, I think he's made the roster clearly. The two offensive linemen, if you don't mind me just running on with this a little bit.
Go ahead.
Carson Vinson and Garrett Dellinger both played various degrees of good. And what I'll say about Vinson is I was really more impressed when we went back and looked at it block by block than when we looked at it at the macro level where we're taking notes on everything. And he had a game where he probably graded a C, right in the middle of the C range, and I can't even tell you how good that is for a developmental lineman at this point. Normally, it's really good if you're at a C level in your second NFL season, and it's outstanding if you're there in your first NFL season. That's like what Linderbaum was. It was about a C-plus as a rookie. And for him to be this good at this point is terrific. Give up a bunch of pressure events, and there were some ugly moments in there, but he fought like hell. He gets downfield very effectively, pushes people down in level two. He's a finisher, like Daniel Falele. You watch him, he's not really that same kind of finisher. Right away, Carson Vinson has that killer instinct, and he was having a lot of fun and really feeling it in this game. And Garrett Dellinger, very consistent throughout the game. Appears to have the what the Ravens need in terms of mobility to pull from left to right. That's the thing they're missing a lot on the right side with Falele. As good as he finished last year, Daniel Falele has a lot of problems with mobility and limitations that the offense has to work with. They can't really afford to have that on the left side as well. And Dellinger looks like he meets that standard, and Voorhees looks like he meets that standard as well. So excited about what I saw from those two guys.
What if I was looking at was Deez Isaac?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, by now people know he got injured. Ojabo is, I don't know, not really shown anything in my opinion, or very much. Are they going to be forced to insert him into this roster spot, or are they going to look around?
I think it could go either way. Still, I mean, obviously, I think if nothing changes, Ojabo is the fifth outside linebacker. But to me, I'm looking at the inactives on who's going to be inactive on day. The easiest inactive, maybe on the whole roster, other than the two offensive linemen who'll be sitting. Is probably Ojabo. He's probably the next easy. You only need four outside linebackers on a day. Ojabo's not a big special teams contributor. He can do some things for you, but not like Isaac could.
Yeah.
And so it means that I think they're probably going to have him inactive for some weeks.
Okay.
Ken McKusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, going from game number one to game number two, did anybody catch your attention that maybe you either weren't impressed with before or you didn't even recognize before?
So Rush was the big step forward in terms of being able to move the team. But I think we've talked about him already. You know, who else looked good that was a big step forward? There's so many guys on defense to talk about. I'm really impressed with both of the UDFA inside linebackers, Chandler Martin and Jay Higgins. Both of them just playing great football right now. And they're really making a case to be on some team. I hope the Ravens have the space to keep one of them. But to do so, it might be a player like Bo Braid would get cut. So they've got some very tough roster decisions ahead. And there are a lot of guys on defense right now who are popping.
What about special teams? We talked a little bit about Wester. Loop had a good day. Mm-hmm. Our punting is always good. I mean, I feel the special teams has made more of an improvement than either of the offense or defense because they weren't very good last year.
Yeah. So start to two elements to that. The specialist group is looking very good this year. I mean, Loop has been outstanding in camp. He had reportedly stubbed his toe on one field goal he missed, and he did miss another, but he's 6-for-8, I think, in the preseason so far with field goals. He's been solid, kicked long kicks. He's got all the leg strength you would want. He seems to kick a very straight ball. But if I'm going to the other players who are covering kicks and returning kicks, that's where the group could be really impressive this year, but they need to find one additional big to play on both sides of the punt game, which means they need one additional bigger body. And that's where I'm hoping there's an opportunity for either Martin or Higgins, because they would fit that role and they can play on the line of scrimmage, effectively playing defense and stopping dive plays from occurring on fake punts, and also on blocking on punts. So they need an extra big. So it's a little unusual that you put a safety on the inside on that. I'm not saying they never do it, but it's usually a set of linebackers that are your core special teamers on that punt and punt return team.
410-583-1057. That's the number. You want to get a question in to Ken. Ken, tell us all about Film Study Baltimore. What's going on this week?
Good stuff. The camp review episodes are done for the summer because I'm done with camp as of Friday. But always happy to have people come over to the website, look around. The defense review posted yesterday. Offense will post today. A look at the game day inactives with this crowded 53-man roster is coming tomorrow. So a lot of things happening this week.
There you go. Ken, thanks a lot, my friend. Talk to you next week as we get ready, or I should say as we talk about preseason game, not only number 3, but that final 53-man roster. Before you go, do you expect any surprises for the Baltimore Ravens?
You know, I don't really. I saw Brian Wacker had in the Sun, put out a 53-man roster today, and I think I completely agree with it, which is really strange. So it's got exactly the 53 I would expect. So I don't really expect surprises. The team is just too deep for it right now. Somebody could get hurt, of course, but yeah.
All right, Ken, talk to you next week, my friend.
Take it easy.
All right, 410-583-1057, that's the number. Ed and I are giving out shovels at 845. If you want to give one, you can give us a call. But on the other side, no surprise to anyone, Joe Flacco named the Browns starter. When it's all said and done, what's his legacy for the NFL? Or does he have one? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the field.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on medical leave. Joe Flacco, we talked about this a little bit earlier, Ed. No surprise, he is named the starting quarterback in Cleveland. He's done this before in Cleveland. He's played previously 5 games. He did it a couple of years ago. During those 5 games, Flacco went 4-1. Everyone's talking about him. He had 1,600 yards passing, and really, really played well during that time. He had 13 touchdowns, eight interceptions. Played well, getting them in. I think he got them into the postseason that year, right? They lost to the Houston Texans, I believe. Yeah, I think they lost to the Houston Texans. And now he's the starting quarterback once again. They wanted him back in 2024. I think the front office or whatever didn't want him in there. The coaches did. They were very vocal about that. Now he's back, and he's going to be a starting quarterback. He's won a Super Bowl. He had the all-time record for touchdowns and no interceptions in the postseason, breaking Joe Montana's record. Super Bowl MVP. When you look at the league-wide, I'm not talking here in Baltimore, league-wide, what is Joe Flacco's legacy when he retires, or does he have one?
His legacy will be similar to Jim Plunkett or Kenny Anderson or guys like that.
I like that. I like Jim Plunkett.
Yeah. Jim Plunkett's a two-time Super Bowl winner.
Right.
An MVP. He's not in the Hall of Fame, but he's that kind of guy. I think he's going to be Jim Plunkett.
I get where you're going with Kenny Anderson, underrated. Mm-hmm. I get that. But I like Jim Plunkett better because Kenny Anderson went to the Super Bowl but lost to Joe Montana. Joe right. Flacco actually not only won one, but wasn't Jim Plunkett the MVP of a Super Bowl before?
One of them, yeah.
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 So he gets that. So you look at him in an era of quarterbacks that were historic, he was kind of overlooked.
Yeah, but he's also, it's funny, it's very, so similar in so many ways. You know, he's the MVP of the Super Bowl. He brings the Raiders, the first wild card team to win a Super Bowl. He was never a Pro Bowler, but he's got two rings. You know, and he was the quarterback of that Raiders team when they were really, you know, pretty awesome. So I kind of think that really the parallels between the two are also are good. And Plunkett was a big guy too, like Flacco. Yeah. Not quite
Stanford guy.
Stanford guy, yep. Not quite as tall, but he's a big man.
Didn't Plunkett win a Heisman Trophy?
I think.
I thought John Plunkett may have won the Heisman.
I'm going to look it up. He may have because he was such a big name when I was young and he was coming up. But he reminded me, and he was, let's see. He was one of the school's first Heisman.
Okay.
Yep. First Heisman.
I don't know who's won one since then at Stanford.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck didn't win it, right? Because RG3 beat him.
Yeah. That was Luck, and then let's say McCaffrey's the next best player to come out of there, I guess. Yeah.
Joe Flacco in 17 years has 95 more touchdown passes than interceptions. You know, so he's not a turnover prone, so to speak. He's never put up the gaudy numbers. He passed for 4,000 yards once in his career. That was 2016. He's never been a guy in his career. He's never thrown 30 touchdown passes. His career high was 27. That was in 2014. So I think that's what he's only had a passer rating of 101 times, but it doesn't count because he only played two games that year. So that his career passer rating, 84.4, completion percentage, 61.7. Those are pedestrian numbers in the era in which he played. However, if you look at him for what he's accomplished, that kind of not, I don't think it outweighs the numbers, but I think it kind of makes you look at that more than just the numbers. A little bit. But you always have to come back to the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, people always do because if you know you want to craft an argument for or against, you come back to the numbers always. So I get it.
I think his legacy around the his legacy in Baltimore, we don't have to talk about. It's always going to be huge. There are people who believe Joe Flacco deserves a statue in M&T Bank Stadium.
Yeah,
I don't think he'll get one. He'll be in the Ring of Honor. But you know, when you win a Super Bowl and when it's different than Trent Dilfer. And I know people say, well, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. It's different because Trent Dilfer was along for the ride in the postseason. Joe Flacco played the best football of his entire career for those 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Flacco's never played that well again. He never played that good again. He never played that well before. He played, it's like what I keep saying, Lamar Jackson has to play Lamar Jackson football in the postseason. Joe Flacco played above himself in 2012.
Whoa. I mean, he got hot at the right time. Played above himself. Played out of his mind. I mean, it was one of the greatest runs I've ever seen. Because they weren't going anywhere. He got white hot and just, you know, was lighting it up. Touchdowns, no picks. Crazy, you know, crazy fluky plays. It was you talk about, like, it was destiny, but it really looked like they were a team of destiny. They were going to win that year no matter what.
I think it was a team of destiny. It all started because your Hall of Fame linebacker, the best of all time, says, this is it for me.
Yeah.
And I think that whether you want to believe it or not, people want to believe it or not, I think that team rallied around Ray Lewis. They found sometimes you need something to motivate you, something to carry you beyond your normal motivation. And I think the Ravens found that when Ray Lewis came back from the injury and said, this is it for me. I think they found that's something that they were looking for.
Yeah, maybe. It could be. I think someone like Ray has a lot of influence on teams, and that was his – he did it – again, that was almost like a Hallmark movie. I'm going to retire. I'm going to win it all before I go, even my torn biceps. it was unbelievable.
I think he and Joe reverse roles in the postseason. Normally, Ray was the leader and Joe was kind of holding on, benefiting from that. In the postseason, Joe was the leader and Ray was benefiting from Joe.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Oh, definitely,
Because Ray didn't have his best postseason. He wasn't a liability by no stretch of the imagination, but he wasn't Ray Lewis during that postseason.
Yeah.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Let's go to Baltimore and get Joseph. What's up, Joseph?
How are you, Robin? I just want to thank you. You were the one that met with my son, Jonathan. He's visiting Fenway from Baltimore. You were really kind to take a picture with him. I did a video with you last night, the video call.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you. That was very sweet of you, and we love your show.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Yeah, his son came down to the front row trying to get some autographs and dad. They told Dad I was there. Dad video called, FaceTimed him. So appreciate it. Good kid.
Cool.
Yeah, let's go to East Baltimore and get Larry. What's up, Larry?
How y'all doing?
Doing well. How you doing, man?
All right. I'm asking, do you think they're going to retire Flacco number in Baltimore?
No.
Why not?
They don't retire anybody's number.
Yeah, I mean, there's an unspoken.
They haven't retired Ray Lewis's number.
Yeah, and if they do retire numbers, I don't think they retire Flacco's. I think the retired numbers with the Ravens would be a lot like what the Orioles have.
The Hall of Famers.
You go to the Football Hall of Fame. You go to Pro Football Hall of Fame. You might get your number retired, but other than that, no, I don't think they retired Joe Flacco's number. All right, thanks a lot for the call, Larry. No, I don't. I think they'll be a lot like the Orioles.
Yeah,
which I like that. I like that. You go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you get your number retired.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You go to the Baseball Hall of Fame, you get your number retired. If you go as an Oriole, a lot of people will, well, why is Adley Rutschman wearing 35? Because Mike Mussina didn't go as an Oriole. He didn't want to decide.
To be honest, I'm not really fond of retiring numbers, but it's because some teams who are older or excessive.
The Yankees?
Well, the Yankees. But I can't argue with the Yankees because look at the names. But maybe they shouldn't retire all those numbers because all the single digits are basically gone.
There's some obvious ones with the Yankees. There's some I'm like, yeah, come on, dude. Really?
Yeah.
You really? Come on. Let's get our man Billy in East Baltimore, Ed. Billy.
What a new Ed, bro. How y'all feeling?
Doing well, man. How are you?
That's good, man. All right, man, you remember last week when I called about Shador, though, right?
Yeah.
You said they did all that because he wasn't good at interviews and all this and that, right?
No, I didn't say that. I said he didn't. I didn't say he wasn't good at interviews. I said he was an ass in his interviews. That's a difference. He may be a guy that can interview well, but he was an ass.
All right. Now, how is it that they sit there and let the dude Dillon Gable play like he played and get away with the shot he threw at Shador? You don't think that's a problem?
What did he say about Shador?
I didn't even know what he's talking about.
When he said Shador is an entertainer and he's a competitor.
What are the Browns supposed to do about that?
Hey, you may tell me.
If you're the front office, no. You asked me to tell you. I'm asking you to tell me. If you are the front office or the owner of the Cleveland Browns, what do you do to Dillon Gabriel?
Well, you can't be disciplined on how you.
I'm asking you, what do you do? Well, you keep you asking a question with a question. What do you do?
I give Shador more reps like he's supposed to get in that situation.
Because of what Dillon Gabriel said.
Yeah.
In the National Football League, You don't play the guy that you think is the better player because he's guys. Come on, man. Listen, sometimes you guys, man, please don't hang up on him. Sometimes you guys go with his fandom, and you're pretty obvious on who you slide with. Don't become who you despise the most, my man. Yeah. I love you, dude. You're one of my favorite callers. Yeah, don't become what you despise the most. You know what I mean? Don't do that. You know, Shedeur Sanders, if he's not injured, would be playing football right now. Him not playing is because of injuries. What Dylan Gabriel says is irrelevant.
What about the roster spot?
If he's good enough to be on the roster, he's good enough to be on the roster. We're not going to discipline. We're not going to cut off our nose to spite our face, man.
The depth chart.
He's injured.
What about the depth chart?
Isn't Shedeur Sanders injured right now?
Kenny Pickett injured too.
Who?
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, where is he in a depth chart?
Number two.
When the 53-man roster come out, we'll shake it up and see what falls out, man. Seriously, dude. I mean, this is a non... Number one, I don't care. It's the Cleveland Browns. That's number one. Let me be honest with you. I don't care.
I don't care neither.
Well, Jay, you do up, because your last three calls have been about it. Like, let's answer this question honestly. Billy, let's be honest for a second. Let's be honest. Right. Ed ain't gonna call me. This is you and me talking. If Shedeur Sanders wasn't one of two things, would you care? Deion Sanders' son in black. Would you care?
Yeah, I care. If he played like he played.
Okay. All right.
I can't see on the field.
Well, how did Dylan Gabriel play?
I ain't judging on no Beyond or the skin color.
Okay, all right. But I got to ask you. I appreciate the call, my man. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Shedeur Sanders is injured. When he balled out, Shedeur Sanders was all that was talked about around the National Football League. Everybody on NFL Network talked about him. Mm-hmm. Everybody on ESPN talked about him. When he got injured, everybody said, this is disappointing because they wanted to see what he did next.
Let me say, it's a little unfair with this whole, he was talking to Aditi Kinkabwala, and he was asked about his comfort in front of the camera, which has been in question. And that's when he said, you know, entertainers are competitors. I totally understand that. My job is to compete. He never mentioned Sanders. He may have been directing, but a lot of people don't even know if he's directing it at Sanders. He was just talking about he's not comfortable in front of a camera, really. I'm just here to play football, essentially. It wasn't.
Even if it was a slight,
100%. But I mean,
what are the Cleveland Browns supposed to do about that?
Yeah. I'm saying it's just such an innocuous comment that was a direct answer to a question.
I've never been. I entertained the call because the caller asked. But to be honest with you, I don't care what happens. I don't.
I also find it fascinating that people are so willing to die on a hill for Shedeur Sanders. He's a good player. He's not a great player. He's a good player. He'll be an NFL quarterback. But nobody plays for the Browns. He's not a Raven. He's not exceptional. He's good. So it's like, why are people just willing to just, you know, die in a hill for this guy?
Rob Manfred talks expansion. We'll talk about that at 9-ish. But on the other side, Ed, we're giving out shovels.
Yes! I'm giving it out to the coffee thief in this building. And it's only for one reason only. There's been a real violation here.
Uh-oh. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan. Shovels next. We're giving out shovels. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel this early Tuesday morning?
Oh, I don't know who it is. That's the problem. That's the problem. I mean, you know, I know this. Jeremy's still bitter over his chicken sandwich thief 15 years later. Yesterday, I've been getting very early. I wanted to make sure I'm in here early because you're on the road. So I'm here like 5 o'clock, 5:15. So I was at CVS like 4:30 yesterday morning, 24-hour one. I bought stuff in here, protein bars, creamer, and a quart of iced coffee. Put it in the fridge, didn't touch it because I had brought coffee in already. Came in this morning, somebody opened it and drank it. Not all of it. Mm. And I don't mind. I mean, I know nobody misses a slice off a cut loaf, but do you really open up things that are sealed now? Is that where we are in this building?
Yes.
Somebody's got a sealed bottle. You had to crack the seal.
Yes.
Like it's just free. It's like your mom put it in there. Like mom went to the store, put it in the fridge, and you crack it open and drink it. This is unbelievable. I don't know who this is, but that's something.
My shovel goes to the people on the Samuel Basayo thread. So folks are upset. Well, one person expressed her disdain over the fact that now he is Samuel Basayo and not Sam Basayo. All through the minors, he was Sam Basayo, yada, yada, yada. This is akin to why is he no longer Santander and Santander? Well, you know, once you get a voice and you get here, you start telling people, hey, that's not my name. If it's not his name, it's not his name.
Yeah,
that's simple. It's not up to you to debate. It really is not.
What's the argument with Basayo?
Before all this time when he was in the minors, he was Sam Basayo, and now not only are we calling him Samuel, but we call him Samuel because that's how he pronounces it.
Oh, that's his name. Yeah.
That's how he pronounces it. Right. That's his name.
Yeah.
He's not American. He's not. If he wants his name, if he wants to be distinguished between Sam and Samuel, where he wants you to pronounce it right so you can know where he came from, then that so be it.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't want people on air call me Robert.
Right.
You know what I mean? You referred to the way you want to be. Why is everything a debate?
Well, it pisses me off. I'm glad you brought this in. I know we got to go, but it's like, it's a double L in Spanish. It's pronounced as a Y. I hear people calling it Basilo. It's not the way it's pronounced. And people, well, it's an American. No! If you're talking about the Gracies, right?
Uh-huh.
The R in Portuguese is like an H. It's not Renzo. It's Henzo.
Henzo.
Hoyce. Henzo. All of them begin with R. Like, you pronounce it the way it's pronounced. It just... Well,
Ed, if you move to another country, you're still Edward Norris. They're not going to convert your name to their language.
Right.
They're still going to say your name the way you say your name. They're going to say it in English because that's your name. Mm. And for this to be a debate, the man's name is Samuel Basayo. All right? You can call him whatever you want to call him. However, when I'm on air and Ben's on air and all these other on-air personalities who've been, we were actually sent the pronunciation of his name, recorded pronunciation of his name.
Right.
That's what we're going to call him. That is. I mean, we make up crazy nicknames just because that's a term of endearment. But when we're serious about his name, we call him Samuel Basayo. Why? Because that's what he wants to be called. We'll go along with that. 410-583-1057 is the number. Matt Warridge from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com, joins us to talk Orioles at 9:15. Vinny Serrato joins us to talk Ravens training camp at 9:30. But on the other side, hey, Ed.
Yeah.
Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, is talking expansion and possible realignment. We'll go over all of that up next on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.